You know, our faith, we recognize that God is constantly trying to communicate with us. He sent us prophets. Ezekiel was one of those prophets. And when he speaks, he's speaking the words that God gave him to speak. So here's God speaking through Ezekiel today. I will take from the crest of the cedar, from its topmost branches tear off a tender shoot, and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. Just like many other places in the Bible, Ezekiel is using plant symbols, agricultural symbols, a mighty tree in this case, in his prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. This is a prophecy of the Messiah. He continues, "It shall put forth branches and fruit and become a majestic cedar." That's a big image to ponder. There's an allusion here also to the church, that not just the birth of the Messiah, but something much bigger that will spread its branches, where even the birds of the sky will come and seek shade. So Scripture often uses plant symbols, agricultural symbols. In the Gospel today, Jesus tells parables. He uses parables a lot. This one about a farmer scattering seed at planting time, and the mustard seed to instruct us about the kingdom of God. It's like a seed that has everything in it necessary, and God's going to make it grow. The farmer's going to sleep and wake and sleep and wake. Farmer's not making the plant grow. So he's talking about the coming of the kingdom of God. And when you listen to Jesus' words, it's very hard to distinguish between the kingdom of God and the church he establishes. They're a continuity. It's part of this mustard seed that is blossoming into the largest of all bushes. Man does not create and recreate the church. We like to think we do, but when we try to, we really mess it up pretty badly. It's God who's building our church, and that's the faith and the hope that we have, and that's what we get out of the Word of God if we pay attention to Him. Jesus established the church as like the entrance, the anteroom, the front door to the kingdom of God. Man does not make it flourish. God does. And despite man's weakness, the church began with a very small group of people. Remember, there were only 11 apostles on the mountain with Jesus when he instituted the church and said, "Go forth and make disciples of the whole world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That was 11 guys. And it grew into a mighty cedar. And here we are, 2,000 years later, on our own branch of that tree. And the church is today is active all over the world, and it's still one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, just like it was in the beginning. Man has been involved. We have roles. But it's God's work, and we're called to be faithful to God's messages and His will. Man's tried to screw it up, and if you watch the headlines, you can see that we've done a pretty good job, not just in this generation, but for the last 2,000 years, and still the church prevails. God protects it. The Holy Spirit is in it. Jesus is in the church. Jesus told the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land, and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how." That's our church. That's our church. Thanks be to God. This is the kingdom of God growing up among us. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." It's also the history of the church. We know not how. So the church is our inheritance. We are connected to it. After 2,000 years, it's also divine, full of sacramental life. And we're called and formed to live the sacramental life of the church. That's how we know we're in a state of grace, is when we're living the sacraments of the church. We don't miss Mass. We receive Holy Communion every chance we get. And when we fall off the bicycle, we get back in the confessional. Why? To stay on the way, in the state of grace. Where? In the church. We're challenged to allow the Holy Spirit to grow within us individually and within our community, always forming us, continuously forming us like that mustard seed. And here in our parish, we're challenged to be a beacon of that faith and witnesses to it without getting in the way of it. A beacon of hope and faith and to the community around us, to each other. We've got a number of wonderful ministries and examples of discipleship here in our community. It's wonderful for me to listen to newcomers who come to our church, and they speak about our parish. And I get to see a reflection in newcomers' comments and reactions when they're reflecting on the church. And most of it's good, and some of it's not. But what a wonderful gift to be able to see this reflection. And I receive some comments sometimes which are challenging to me as pastor. Some have shared with me, and you all know this, the phenomena of walking out of church, particularly after the 8 o'clock Mass, and in both entrances, there are crowds of people waiting for us to get through with the previous Mass so they can get in and get a seat inside because they know the church is going to be jammed. And they're right there in the door. And frequently, they're so intensely waiting at the door that there's this bottleneck. People can't get out. People can't get in. And so it's the Spanish Mass that comes after this. And so over the months and years, I've gotten in the habit of doing this. When I get to a door, I'll say something in Spanish like, "Dejen que mis bolillos salgan, por favor, esperan." You guys are laughing. You know what a bolillo is. I'm going to tell you what a bolillo is. There's every group has their slang, right? Well, if you know what a bolillo is, you know that bread roll? It's kind of like a big French roll. It's called a bolillo. It's white bread on the inside. That's what they call us. And so they laugh like you laughed. I said, step back. Make room. Let them come out. And with time, they're getting used to doing this and letting people leave the church. And I've heard comments about this more than once. It's a beautiful reflection when people say things. And I find myself responding, thank God they came. Thank God. Then there are other comments. Recently, someone was sharing with me a similar comment about this after the 8 o'clock Mass, and this person spoke Spanish, and so she was at the 8 o'clock Mass and spoke to some of the people outside when it was over. And the comment was made about the English-speaking people coming out of Mass. And it said, they never smile. Why don't they smile? They just came out of Mass. Why don't they smile? Ouch. Good point. And we need to hear these comments as well. How much larger would our mustard bush be if only we smiled? What's a smile? It's a mustard seed. It's insignificant. It's nothing. But it has the power to melt hearts instantly. A smile shares God's joy. And if we've been at Mass, we have that joy. Our faith is like a mustard seed that when it's sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it's sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade. So, Bolillos, I'm talking to you today. Smile when you walk out of church. Let me see it. Smile. Can you make it work? It's some face muscles. The kingdom of God is at hand. And many are called. Thanks be to God.